This is Will's Band of the Week for March 6th, 2017. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Barrett, live in studio.
Hello.
And a late-breaking appearance by Chris from an undisclosed remote location.
Hey, here I am.
And there's a little bit of random hiss, but that's because of the undisclosed location for undisclosed reasons, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
I literally, just texted Barrett. I'm like, hey, are you guys podcasting today? He says, we're doing it right now.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
I'll do it.
It's called Podcast on Demand by Chris. Yep. They should have a thing, you know, that you can do movies on demand and stuff. Should have a thing where somebody could just press a button and then we'd be required to start talking.
Wow. Yeah, we'd have to assemble. Like, oh, shit.
Yeah, like firefighters.
3 in the morning.
Emergency podcast required.
Yeah. Yikes.
It'd be expensive. But
it would be. You'd have to always be on your toes and ready to go.
Yeah.
Kind of like sleep in your podcasting clothes and...
Yeah. Maybe we could do that if it's like... It would have to be at least $1,000, though.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because at any
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying that at any particular time, one of us is probably going to be out of town. Another one is going to be drunk. right? That's a high likelihood
of those things.
And, you know, one of us will be ready to go. So whoever the one that's ready to go is will have to kind of carry the thing.
Yeah. Well, here we are. So is there any music news?
The best part
news?
Of being in an undisclosed location is I get to watch Leicester City against Hull.
Ooh.
Yeah, Leicester City's up 2-1. So. Mm.
Well, since they sacked their manager, now they're going to be 2-0, right?
It was all that guy's fault.
Yeah, totally.
Music news, deaths, anything like that? Barrett and I already talked about Clyde Stubblefield.
That was a big one.
Yeah, it was.
You guys remember a band from the early 2000s called Idaho?
Mm.
They were like a...
I do not.
I don't think so.
They were a slow core type thing. Kind of like, I don't know, like Badhead or Codeine, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, their guitarist died earlier this year. So, there you go.
Chris is he's squeaking some guitar strings. Okay, let's hear some tunes, Chris. You learn anything recently? Have you learned anything recently?
I have not.
Hmm.
I basically know like 4 songs that I've been playing for the last 20 years. I just sit and watch TV and like mess around. So yeah, there's no progress being made.
Hmm. Are you going to play anything for us now or not? Or are you going to hold off?
I am absolutely not.
He's shy.
Yeah.
Although long time listeners will remember we had a challenge that if we got up to 100 Facebook likes or Facebook followers, that Chris was going to post a video, but for sure an audio of him playing a song. What was that song, Chris? He's going to pretend he doesn't remember, but he does.
I think it was a Clem Snide song, actually.
That sounds right. Let's hear it right now, live.
Nope.
Oh my god.
Well, then you guys would have to do a podcast about my singing, about my album.
Ooh,
that's true.
All right, you've scared us off on that idea.
Where you review what?
You've successfully scared us off on that idea. Good job.
Nice.
No, I'm kidding.
Well, I'm completely unprepared on music news, and I don't think I have a live report either. Because I think I reported on my last live thing.
We never talked about the Grammys.
Well,
I only watched it briefly. I think Chris is always watching those shows and kind of live tweeting.
He's always live tweeting them.
What was your takeaway on that?
It was weird. About 2/3 of the way through the telecast, I had this strange sensation that I was actually enjoying watching the Grammys.
Wow.
Mostly because it was when they started doing all the tributes to the old folks. And so, you know, there's a tribute to the Bee Gees and some other older groups. And I'm like, okay, so this is what good music sounds like.
Right.
Although when they did the tribute to the Bee Gees, they essentially just did all the disco stuff.
Right. I did see really your tweet giving some notice to Odessa, their classic.
Love that album.
Was that 1968, probably, I think?
Yeah, 68, 69, something like that.
That is a great album.
So, yeah. So they're famous for the disco stuff. That's when they became like superstars, but the earlier stuff is well worth listening as well. And I think Barry Gibb is the only one left. Is he the only one still with us?
Is he the beardy guy, or did that guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is kind of the Robin, main, the... Maurice, and Barry.
Yeah. And Andy,
and
too.
Then, of course, there's Andy. Yeah, and Andy's gone, too. So
Barry,
yeah,
wasn't...
I think Barry's the last one left.
Barry's the one with the falsetto. He's kind of...
And wasn't he the main force behind the whole Saturday Night Fever thing?
Well, I don't know about that. Like, if he was the... I know that he was the singer, so...
Well, they were all singers.
Yeah, but I mean, he's the guy with the recognizable
famous
lead singing
falsetto
voice. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you had some sick game where you were allowed to pick one member of the Bee Gees to survive, that's who you would have picked. But anyway, right?
I have the home version of that game, like the board game version. Guess the Bee Gees' deaths.
Yeah.
It's right up there with like Chutes and Ladders and Payday and Monopoly.
So this isn't music related, but there was that crazy thing where they announced the wrong Best Picture film, right? Like how Like how could they even do that? I didn't read much about it afterwards. I was just like, what? Did the guy have the wrong sheet of paper that he was reading from? That they accidentally gave him like the actress one instead of the movie one?
I actually, when you rewatch it, I give Warren Beatty quite a bit of credit. I don't know how else a person could have handled that. You know, he looked at it like, "What the fuck?" and then like, "Okay," and then showed it to Faye Dunaway, and she just read it,
but
without thinking, without realizing why he hesitated.
But is there something that like they want to keep it like under wraps and really secret until the last minute? Because that's the only thing that would explain why. If they read it wrong, somebody wouldn't have immediately come on and said, "No, that's sorry, we've got a mistake."
Right.
Instead of waiting until the wrong people were accepting the award.
Yeah, they already three people had given speeches at that point, right?
It's like, yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Like thanking Hollywood for diversity and all that kind of stuff, and then it's like, nope.
What if like
no
during
more diversity in Hollywood
during the year-end podcast, one of us had incorrectly read our number one album. We really have nobody but ourselves to blame.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm like, and my number one is Adele's 25. And then you guys would have to be like, "Hey, Bear, that's not the right one." And I'd be shamed.
Yeah, you were reading from the wrong list. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I'm getting a Warren Beatty to do my top 10 of the year this year, so.
Nice.
You never know what's going to happen.
Too bad that's so far away from the Grammys, because any kind of little gag we play around that's going to be long forgotten by then, you know. So, you know what I mean?
That's true.
You're right. Everybody will have forgotten. All right. Should we talk about music now? I think we should probably. Let's talk about Hand Habits. Hand Habits is, well, it's basically one person, I think. Her name is Meg Duffy, and she's from upstate New York, but she apparently moved to Los Angeles for indie rock stardom.
Mm-hmm.
Tried something different.
Sure.
Brooklyn probably didn't seem like enough of a drastic move. So she's apparently based in LA now. I think she's got a band together, so I hope so, because it's a really good album, and it'd be good to see it like get the full band treatment. She's played with a guy named Kevin Morby. You guys, is that a familiar name to you guys?
It is. Isn't he a Canadian dude?
Now you got me. I can't remember.
I believe he had an album come out last year that was pretty good.
Yes, he did. And then I think
Does ring a bell.
He was in, wasn't he in one of those bands with one of those...
he's in like Broken Social Scene or something.
That's a different Kevin, isn't it? Well, anyway, we'll do some music journalism. Let's start...
Kevin Garnett?
Oh no, he's
was he in Broken Social Scene? Oh no, wait, he was an All-Star NBA forward.
Kevin Morby is from the band Woods.
Okay,
I just
that makes sense. But yeah. He also had a project with one of those. Who are those three women that had the band and then that branched off into like Frankie Rose and all those others? That group, he had a side project that was really good with one of them. So there, that's high quality music journalism right there. The Hand Habits album is called Wildly Idle, Humble Before the Void. And I will take the first pick. Sun Beholds Me. Hand Habits.
It's really catchy.
Yeah, it is.
You can kind of imagine like when they're getting together to rehearse these songs, maybe to go out and play live, that she'd have to keep saying, "Nope, slow it down, guys."
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I mean,
resist the temptation to pick up the pace, right?
It's at times barely moving.
Right.
But in a way that I like.
It's sort of dream pop, I guess.
Yeah.
And you know, people are tempted, and they do call it folk, but it's, I don't know, there's something about it, like when you put all that reverb and the dreaminess on there, it's not really folk.
I wouldn't call that, it's not particularly folky at all.
If there's any genre of music that begins with the word dream, Will's all over it.
That's right. I think you're kind of right about that.
Yeah, he does like the dreamy stuff.
You love the atmospherics.
Yep. So that, it reminds me of the band Florist that I loved from last year, with some reverb added to it. Mm-hmm. And then it sounds kind of like old Mazzy Star, too. And again, yeah. I think the reverb creates a mood. It's the dream. Reverb pop, right?
Yeah, kind of like Mazzy Star unplugged.
Yeah. Barrett, do you want to make a pick?
Yeah, that was my first pick, but my second one would be Demand It.
Can you even stand?
This is the first time I've listened to this on headphones, and do you guys hear like the weird stereo panning going on there? Like one little snare thing will be on the right side, then the left side.
I didn't notice that it was panning back and forth.
Well, in the drum parts, it's really kind of disconcerting because it sounds like the guy's over here, and then he like moves over there. Very unnatural sounding.
There's definitely a spatial thing going on for sure. Mm-hmm. Yep, I approve of that one too. Chris, have you listened to this?
I have not. This is the first I'm hearing of it, but I like it.
All right.
So you guys are up for the next song.
We're like the DJs for Chris. We're playing some music for Chris. All right.
Right.
I'll take another pick. Let's go with a song called In Between. Hand habits.
Yeah. You know, the word that came to my mind, I was trying to come up with a descriptor, and languorous came to me. And I was like, well, I think I have a strong opinion of what languorous means to me, but I was like, I'm going to check it out just because I don't have any, you know, I was a little bit sheepish about blurting it out. But let me read you the definition, and I think it's perfect. Hold on.
While you do that, I will mention that Leicester is up 3-1, and poor Hull looks like they're destined for relegation.
Yeah.
Sad state of affairs for them.
Well, they were promoted from the second division, and early in the season I read that, and I don't know anything about Hull, but they literally spent no money. They went with the exact same squad that they had in the second division, and they won their first couple of games. I was like, wow, maybe they're going to be the new Leicester City, but
nope.
They're down there with lowly Sunderland.
Oh.
Oh, man, that stings. Well, I'm not finding what I found before. It can have a negative and a positive connotation. On one sense, it's like the lack of energy, sluggishness, a little bit of that. But it's also got elements of like a pleasant slowness and lack of urgency. And that's kind of more of the meaning that I was going for. So there you go.
All right.
Fuzzily defined words by Barrett.
Languorous refers to a certain kind of mood everyone gets in sometimes, when you'd rather lie around thinking than doing work or having fun. When you're languorous, you're tired and maybe a little depressed. So yeah, does that sum up hand habits for you?
I guess a little bit, yeah. I still love it. Maybe that says something about me.
Okay, yeah. But also, like, dreamy, languid, and lackadaisical. And those can be good ways to feel, I think. You know, it's just, you know, in the case of me, that is just to be. That is how I'm wired.
So this should be good music for you then.
Yeah.
You're going deep.
Yeah. Okay. Well, people, check out Hand Habits. And also this week, there is a new Surfer Blood album. And Surfer Blood is becoming kind of like the Wilco of the podcast, right? Seems like we're talking about them a lot.
Is this the fourth Surfer Blood album we've reviewed?
I think so. Yeah.
The only one I remember is the first one with the shark on it.
And the 38 special sound that it had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are they what started our 38 special running joke?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yep.
We kind of forgot, but, well, yeah. Do you want to play a snippet of that song?
I think we can find
38
it.
38 special song?
I don't know if I could find it, but it's out there. Let's just stick with the new album. There are a couple moments on this album that sound like 38 Special also, I think. But the new album is called Snowdonia, and that's not a real word, is it?
I don't know.
I don't believe it is. Barrett's pulling out Langris, so
yeah,
he'd be the one.
So why don't one of you guys take the first commentary on the Surfer Blood album?
So when I first heard Will talk about this, he kind of felt bad about liking it. And I kind of almost felt the same way, like I really like it, but I feel like I shouldn't like it as much. Uh-huh. Just because they're kind of, I read an interview where the lead singer, who I'm sure we'll discuss in more detail later, was saying, answered questions about how this is, you know, such a departure from their past albums. And it is and it isn't. I mean, it's kind of the same sound, but like a lot softer, I think. They just don't rock as much as they used to, and that was the sound of theirs that I liked the most. So I think this one is just kind of a little bit softer, maybe more gentle. It's still pretty, it's got some good hooks. It's very listenable and catchy, but just in terms of kind of, you know, the feeling of it all, it's not as aggressive as their last ones have been. So
yeah, I would agree with that. I agree with that. I think they have kind of two sides, two personalities. They have the Fountains of Wayne side, which is more evident on this, and then the side that's a little bit more like Weezer, which is what the old stuff sounds like.
Yeah.
Those, you know, I mean, you put those things together, and I think that's what that's kind of epitomizes the sound for me. And you know, it's got, this album has kind of a, like, an early nostalgia for the, you know, the aughts, even though it hasn't been that long. But, you know, it just sounds like something that could have come out in, you know, 2003 to me.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Chris, want to make a pick?
Problem is, I don't know the names to any of these songs. I just kind of, like, listened to it through while I painted my basement last weekend. And okay, my first song is going to be Dino J.
Stand.
Good pick, Chris. That was going to be mine, too.
Nah. So I found this article. When Surfer Blood frontman John Paul Pitts got cracking on the band's fourth album, he decided it was time to go back to doing things akin to how he wrote songs in the early days. The tightness and melody still had their place, but when he wanted to stretch his legs and get a little out there with it, he wasn't going to restrain himself. And, end quote. And I don't really get where they get out and, like, get really experimental at all, but I don't know. Clearly he thinks that they are.
Well, that song didn't exemplify it, but there are a couple songs that are longer and have a whole bunch of changes in them, I think, and so maybe that's what it's referring to, which I think is kind of a welcome thing, because I think the last couple of albums, they seemed like they were just pretty straightforward poppy, and I think this album has a little bit more diversity to it. It's just my impression. I didn't go back and listen to the last two, but that's the impression.
Well, yeah, at first it just seemed like they were just going to be in kind of that whole group, that bouillabaisse of surfer bands, you know, real estate, you know, beachy music type of stuff. And I think they're kind of getting away from that a little bit now. They don't sound very beachy or very surfery. They're belying their name.
So they have kind of a backstory, right? So I think we talked about this earlier, that like a few years ago, the singer, John Paul Pitts, got arrested for domestic abuse. And then just last year, they had a guitar player who died of cancer. That's not too good, right?
I believe we went to go see them here in Madison, and they were, I think they mentioned something at the show about donating part of the proceeds to him,
right,
for his treatment.
Right.
Was I there?
I don't think you
were. I don't
were
remember
there.
That.
No, I don't think so.
It was at the,
thanks
the frequency.
A lot, guys.
Yeah, it was at the frequency, and I think, it was like all the merch.
Yeah, we didn't tell you.
What? Fine.
The merch sales all were going to... yeah, it's a ditched Barrett again. Yeah, it's... I think
I still have all the texts on my phone. It's like, make sure you don't tell Barrett.
Yeah. We have to have a cover, like a some kind of a story we can tell him.
Also, breaking news about Surf Blood. There appears to be a lady in the band now.
Yes, there's a woman in the band. I think she's the new bass player, and there's a new guitar player, obviously, too. So a little bit of fresh blood in Surfer Blood, right?
Oh, nice. Oh, one. God.
That was
nicely
good, wasn't
done.
It? Yeah.
That's a D-plus at best. I'm just going to grade all your statements from now on.
My natural jokes are D-pluses, unfortunately. That's just how they come out. I can make a pick. Why don't we... Okay, there's like my least favorite part of the whole album is the beginning part of the song Six Flags in F or G, which is like this weird kind of romping 2/4 time drum beat thing that goes on for way too long. But then the song kind of opens up and improves. So let's break into it, just play the last part of that, and then it's got some cool changes in it. So that's what I'm going to play, Six Flags in F or G.
Thank you.
Surfer Blood.
Yep.
Yeah, when that was on, I was reading more of this interview where he says that song specifically. They asked him, "How are crowds, live crowds, reacting to the new album?" And he said that song specifically has them, quote, scratching their heads. So I take back what I said before that, yeah, there is some stuff on here that kind of stretches it a little bit, I think.
Barrett, you got a pick?
Yeah, I'm going to go back to the stuff that's a little more in keeping with the rest of the album. I picked three, and I think the one I'm going to nominate right now is Instant Doppelgangers.
Yeah, that's one that didn't immediately grab me, but then as I listened to the album a couple more times, it infiltrated my head, and I liked it.
It sounds like a lot of different things I can't quite put my finger on, you know?
And it kind of sounds like the first album a little bit, doesn't it? Like
a little
bit.
Some
of the guitar, I think.
Yeah, I mean, part of the guitar sounds like a television song, you know? Not overall, certainly, but like a little piece in there. And it also sounds a little bit like mid-period Squeeze.
Yeah, you know, not bad.
So there you go, Surfer.
So
Blood.
I agree with what Chris said earlier, which is I didn't think I was going to like this, but I thought, well, I might as well listen to it. And then I was very pleasantly surprised. It's a solid album. Surfer Blood, Against the Odds, lives on. That's what I'm going to say. One other thing, I think that well, it's pretty clear that they're aware of this kind of burden that they've got to kind of keep 38 Special out there to, you know, to keep the memory of 38 Special going.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and they probably listen to the podcast. I would assume they do.
I would think so.
And so there is a part in the title track where I think they're trying to make sure that they threw in just a little 38 Special sound. So I'm gonna find it. So here, hold on. Yeah, there we go. Let's go. It's kind of like Hold On Loosely, right?
Yeah, for sure.
That was kind of an easygoing, you know, a little bit of a 38 Special vibe there. That's the title track, which is a good one too. I think it's 7 minutes and 46 seconds, and they pull it off. So
here's something kind of funny. So I Googled Surfer Blood 38 Special.
Uh-huh.
And it came up with whatever, however many links. The third one is our podcast. Yeah.
That's great.
That's pretty cool.
It's funny what you can find with an internet search.
Yeah, and then like one of the things is you know, an article about Surfer Blood, and then followed by some concert announcements, one of which is 38 Special playing in West Palm Beach, Florida. So they're not even really connected. So not as many people have made that.
But Surfer Blood is from West Palm Beach, Florida. So,
well, there you go.
That's why, because it was that publication probably or something, right?
Well,
where's 38 Special
point is
from?
They're from like Tallahassee.
Okay, so same state.
Yeah. But, yeah, I did not know that Surfer Blood was from West Palm Beach, but now we do. And now we also know that 38 Special just happens to be playing there. And you got to think that these guys are going to go to that show, right?
Oh, you'd sure think so.
I mean,
yeah.
There's an obvious affection for it, so.
They should have had them open when we went to see them at the casino. They should have had Surfer Blood as the opening band.
That
would have
been pretty cool.
Yeah, instead they had that, remember that guy? He was like a... He won some TV contest.
Idol or something.
Yeah.
Oh, that was horrible.
Yeah, it was unbelievably bad.
Wow. Yeah. Like it pains me to say this. Like the 38 Special thing was pretty bad. But man, the opener was brutal. Like he was really good at what he did, I guess. I mean, but
right.
Like what he was trying to do was so objectionable. Ugh.
Yeah.
We should probably figure out who that was so we can, you know, call him out on the air.
Yeah.
A little payback for what he made us sit through.
That's right.
At that casino.
When they could have had Surfer Blood. Come on.
I know.
All right. So we're not going to blather on for an hour this week. That's the official content is completed now. So, Chris, do you want to blather on for a few more minutes?
I would like to mention one thing. A few weeks ago, I listened to a podcast. It's called the Great Albums Podcast, and they're just essentially just like us. They're just a couple of guys that get together, and they pick one album per week, a great album, and talk about it. And sometimes they have guests and have experts on to talk about specific albums. And I got onto it because I'm a big fan of the Beastie Boys' Paul's Boutique, and so listen to that. And one of the guests, the expert guest that they had on, followed me on Twitter, and now I guess we are kind of like the Twitter buddies. So listen to the Great Albums Podcast, and they're kind of our sister podcast, I guess, now. So there you go.
All right.
Nice.
Is it all like old classic albums?
Yeah, there's some. Barrett and I listened to one on our way to Milwaukee last week about the Ramones, and you know it was fine. It was a little bit long, but they go through track by track. But the Beastie Boys one was really good.
I think that a track by track accounting of pretty much any album, other than the Ramones first, would have been a little more entertaining because, I mean, pretty much all they had to say about any of the songs are like, "This is dumb." It's simple, and that's what's great about it. And they just said that over and over again.
You know, yeah.
Now let's
You're
play,
not doing a whole lot of different stuff on
right.
Every
now let's
song.
Play Beat on the Brat. What do you think of that? Well, the sentiment is kind of just is what it is, and it's dumb, and I love it.
It's dumb, and that makes it cool.
Yeah.
But, doesn't Beat on the Brat have the bass on one side and the guitar on the other?
Indeed it is, and they discuss that.
They do.
Well, now that I've mentioned it, we should probably play
that's
that,
pretty
right?
Impressive. I wouldn't, if I hadn't just listened to that, that wouldn't have occurred to me.
But. Yeah, well, listen to it in headphones, and there's going to be no question about it.
Beat on the Brat, beat on the Brat, beat on the Brat with the baseball bat.
Yeah, it's a classic. Yep. So you can pan that, and you can play it, and you get like only bass or only guitar. It's kind of crazy. So yeah, that's what I remembered about it. So, okay. Well, people should really, it's better to listen, I think, to our podcast than other podcasts, don't you think?
Right. Well, they wouldn't know about the other podcast had they not listened to ours. So
yeah. So in
we're always first.
Yeah. I guess as long as we're going to give credit to other podcasts, I did listen to the Sound Opinions guys from Chicago, and they made a pretty good band recommendation for a band that I had not heard before. They're called the Go-To-Beds. You guys ever heard that band?
No.
They're from Pittsburgh, and they put an album out last summer. It's called some play on the Chili Peppers album. I think it's called like Blood Sugar Sex Traffic or something like that. It's good. It's worthy. So people should check that out. The Go-To-Beds. Kind of sounds like, well, it's dangerous to compare a band to one of your favorite bands, but there's a little bit of a proto-martyr kind of sound. But the guy is more of a kind of a yelling punk voice. And I think one of the guys was like a record company guy from like Matador or something. And that's my music journalism that I can't remember. Yeah. But anyway, check them out. They're worthy.
All right.
Well, anything else? We're going to sign off?
Yeah, I don't have anything else to add, I guess.
Nope.
We covered those things pretty thoroughly.
It's chock full of content this week. No wasted time at all.
One more score update. Chris, what's the score?
Well, that game is over, and the Liverpool-Arsenal game is about to begin. So.
Ooh.
Yeah. I always enjoy when there was another game, I believe it was West Brom, where you have a guy who gets like a head injury and he has to wrap his head like he's a World War One soldier.
Yeah. I love it when people get head injuries too. That is pretty cool.
Just a funny look. Wish they'd do that more often.
I know.
All right. We never talk about, you guys always talk about Premier League stuff. We never talk about American basketball very much.
That's true.
College basketball, where my favorite team is in a horrible swoon.
Man, what are they? They've lost like five out of seven.
Five out of six or something.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they were ranked number 10 in the country, I think, before this.
Even, yeah, I want to say that, weren't they ranked like higher than that, like single digits?
It might have been like number 7 or 8. And now they're.
Then the committee comes out. The committee comes out and is like, here's where we would seed Wisconsin. And everyone's like, that's outrageous.
Yeah.
They're, you know, and then they've won like one game since then.
Yeah.
A month and a half ago.
Yeah.
Not a month and a half. Whatever.
Yeah. 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 Pull out whatever sports cliche you need to talk about the malaise of Wisconsin Badgers. All right. How's Marquette doing these days, Chris?
They're probably going to be in the tournament. They're doing pretty well.
Well, that's good.
They're one game over 500 in the Big East, which is a good conference.
Yeah. So. I think I read about them being kind of on the bubble, but with a couple of wins, you get on the correct side of the bubble, right?
I think they're on the bubble, but probably on the right side of it right now.
Yeah. Good. All right. I guess we should sign off, but, already in the planning stages for next week. That's exciting, I think. But we're not going to tell anybody what we're planning. So let's just say we're going to talk to you again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
You can subscribe to the Will's Band of the Week podcast using iTunes or any other podcast app. All of our podcasts are also available directly on our webpage, willsband.net. You can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com, on our Facebook page, or on Twitter @WillsBand. The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you every week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening. $0 worth once again.